Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Sound Art Radio. This morning's episode is entitled, His Eyes Are As a Flame of Fire. God sees through sinful actions. I'm going to be reading this morning from 2 Timothy, chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So, my focus this morning is going to be on Paul's understanding of the place of the Word of God in the lives of believing ones. And if you would notice very carefully the structure of this verse and the way Paul has written it, he draws attention to the primacy of the Word of God and its pivotal role in the lives of those who confess to have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to use the word profess this morning because professors are those who say and do not. Confessors are those who confess the name of Christ Jesus through their intentions and their actions. Because God is concerned about our intentions, as well as our actions. It is very important to understand that. God is concerned about our intentions as well as our actions. And so, I love this verse, hold fast. And Paul gives this verb, hold fast, in the present imperative. Something that is very important and for us to understand. Present imperative is a command. It's not a suggestion or a good idea. The present imperative is a curt command, something that must be done or is necessary in the nature of the case that a certain thing is done. Hold fast the form. Now, this is a very interesting word because hupotosin is the word, and a form of this word is used in Hebrews 11:1. It is also another form of this word is used in Hebrews chapter 1 as well as Hebrews 11:1. So hold fast the form, sound words. This word sound in Greek means healthy or healthy words. Now, this becomes very interesting for us too because we see why Paul has said to the believers, and particularly he's speaking to the young pastor, Timothy, he says to him, hold fast the form of sound words. Health-giving words or healthy words. And Paul uses this term healthy in a few other passages as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul writes, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, literally of cowardice, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Here, a sound mind literally means self-control. Self-control. So, words produce health. The Word of God produces health. The Word of God creates health and gives us health. The Word of God cleanses the spirit. The spirit is that part of us that is capable of God consciousness or God awareness. The soul is that part of us that is related to this earthly life. The body that we have now, our soma supicon, is a body adapted for this earthly realm. We shall receive a new body when Jesus comes back for his church, and then that body is called the soma pneumaticon. It will be a body adapted to the heavenly realm. And so we look forward with eager expectation to be delivered into our final liberty. As Paul also states in Romans chapter 8, that even creation itself lives with the expectation with, as it were, of being delivered from corruption. God will renovate this earth with fire. He will cleanse the earth with fire. And we're told in the book of Revelation that you and I look forward to a new heaven and a new earth wherein God will deal with the sin question. He dealt with the sin question, penalty of sin, in 33 A.D. through his son, Jesus Christ. He died on the Roman gibbet. He died for all of us, all mankind. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not die, but have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is the condemnation that men have chosen life over blessings, as their deeds were evil. John 3:16 is pivotal. For God so loved the world. Once again, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to move on from there, and these are the words. I'm going to be reading one from 2 Timothy chapter 2, and Paul writes in verse 11, "It is a faithful saying, 2 Timothy 2:11. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. And we move from that verse to 2 Timothy 3. Know this also, 2 Timothy 3:1, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, that is, with no family love. No family love. Truth breakers. That is, individuals with whom there is no reconciliation. They don't want to be reconciled. These are people who resist. They don't want to forgive you. And in their self-righteousness, they don't feel that they have to forgive. And see, this is all born of pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. The individual who is involved in hate, John writes in 1 John states, he who hates his brother does not have eternal life. You see, this is also the words of the flesh. The flesh ardently believes in its self-righteousness. And the individual who is embroiled in hate of another believer does not understand the cross of Christ. And it is questionable that this individual is saved. Jesus taught that the individual who does not forgive will be delivered over to the torturers. The person who does not forgive does not understand that the prison that he has built for the one he or she hates, these individuals are not the only occupants, but the hater is also in the dungeon, in the prison, that he has created for the one whom he or she hates. That is the nature of this reality. We are told, as God has forgiven you, forgive others as God in Christ Jesus hath forgiven you. Hath forgiven you. Now, if doctrine is merely gnosis, merely head knowledge, and if the doctrine one has taken in remains merely gnosis or intellectual information and has not been transferred into the spirit by faith, it is by faith a doctrine is transformed into epignosis, that is, super knowledge or doctrine that is usable in the life of the believer. And people can read the Bible for years, people can go to conferences, people can record messages and listen to sermons, and yet their lives are unchanged. They are still involved in pornography, they are still involved in affairs, they are still involved in hatred, lying, deceit, resentment, anger, their lives do not change. And these people go to church consistently. Church does not change an individual. Attending a worship service in this culture does not change an individual. What changes an individual is the Word of God. Word of God must be believed. Psalm 119, the psalmist states, until I was afflicted, I went astray. Very important to hear that message. until I was afflicted, I went astray. See, we are to have a living relationship with God, a vital relationship with God. Jesus said in John's Gospel, abide in me, or be at home in my will. Meno, abide with me, remain with me, stay with me. There are so many distractions today in this world. I mean religious distractions, sermonic distractions. That sermonic distractions are laced with nice sounding aphorisms or wise sayings. But wise sayings do not convict to the point where a person agrees that he or she must give up a particular sin. The word of God convicts the heart into the saving of the soul. The word of God transforms the individual's heart. And when the word of God transforms the heart, the individual now begins to understand practical sanctification. We have positional sanctification in Christ Jesus. We have been positionally set aside in Christ. But then practical sanctification means I grow up in my spiritual awareness of my relationship with God. So I must consistently take in doctrine. I must consistently take in the Word of God. Unfortunately, I can be in a religious group who profess to take in the Word of God, and yet my spiritual growth will only go so far because I am within a particular group. And I may not rise above the level of their spirituality. And we have known for years through research that within local churches, or the members of a particular local church, will not arise above the level or the spirituality of the pastor. They will not do it. And so it therefore becomes imperative that the pastor, the shepherd, the protector, which is the biblical name for pastor, the one who protects the sheep, he is the protector, it therefore becomes imperative that the pastor grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, years and years ago, I was approached by an individual who asked me if I use this online resource for putting together sermons, messages. And I was told that individuals can go to a particular website and download messages you'd be using Sunday morning or what have you. And I just said very plainly, no, that's not what I do. That's not my practice. See, I want the Word of God to bless me. I want to be blessed by God's Word. I love the Word of God. And I cannot be a blessing to others who sit under my ministry or who come to me for counseling if my heart has not been blessed first by the Word of God. I become a charlatan. The Word of God is vital for our spiritual lives. The Word of God is vital. When I study the Word, I encounter God. God encounters me. God awakens my mind. I want a holy conscience. The term conscience literally means the witness within. My conscience witnesses my action or approves or disapproves my actions. And I need to be aware of it. I need to understand this. The Word of God cleanses my spirit. The Word of God sanctifies my soul. The Word of God sanctifies my mind in what I will look at and not look at. The Word of God sanctifies my ears. The Word of God sanctifies my talk and my walk and my actions and my intention. That is the nature and the power of the Word. So, Paul is very serious about what he wants Timothy to understand about his spiritual life. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read these words. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, or literally healthy doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. The word fables here in verse 4 is myth. And so the term myth, as used by Paul, here means mental fabrications that are opposed to what is true. Mental fabrications that are opposed to what is true. So, for the time will come when they will not endure, that is, they will not bear with healthy doctrine. And see, it is very interesting to note that when individuals within this culture hear the Word of God and may bruise the ego, or the Word of God may be moving in a way that convicts an individual of sin, the Word is rejected soundly, roundly. Rejected. And so the individual rejects the counsel of God. Now, all of this has been foreknown. All of this has been foretold in the Word of God. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And notice, after the semicolon, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers. And so here, within this verse, Paul talks about the works of the flesh. They have ears that want to be tickled. He goes on. He adds to what he says in verse 3. After their own lusts, according to their own lusts, so they heap to themselves teachers. They will reject the Word of God. They will reject the counsel of God without understanding that they are accountable to God for rejecting His Word. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall turn away their ears. Here's a rejection of the Word of God. And so now we see why Paul writes these formidable words in 2 Timothy chapter 3. For man, 2 Timothy 3:2, for man shall be lovers of their own selves. And this dissertation that he begins in chapter 3 rolls on into chapter 4. It is a long and sustained dissertation so that we will understand what the last days of the church will be, the behavior that will manifest among those, and now I'm going to use the word profess, among those who profess to know the Lord. John notes in Revelation chapter 1 a very interesting, something very interesting for us. In Revelation 1:14, John writes, or John wrote, his head and his hair were white like wool. Like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And so, John has a vision of the resurrected Christ who is in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. John is describing Jesus in his high priestly garments. And Jesus, the candlestick, represents the church. He is the great high priest of the church. And so John notes that his hair, and his head and his hair were white like wool, speaking eternity, as white as snow. He's speaking wisdom, eternal wisdom. He's speaking wisdom that has always been and always is. His eyes are the flame of fire. His eyes look through the dross of sand, the behavior that wants to speak, or the actions that are against the will of God. God sees through sin. God sees through sinful actions. For as his eyes are as a flame of fire, no one can lie to Jesus. No one can escape his eyes that are as a flame of fire. We will stand before the Bema, and our works will be judged, we are told, by fire. What is the fire? Well, the fire will be the eyes of Jesus himself. As he evaluates our lives, as he evaluates our word, have we done everything we could to avail ourselves of the Word of God? Have we practiced the Word of God? Have we lived the Word of God? Or have we merely sought to play with the flesh? Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.